Hi, I'm Laura Palatin. Welcome to the Practically Spiritual Show, where we take a practical approach to spirituality and create our own personal spiritual path. I'm really pleased to present this episode of the podcast. I mentioned in a previous episode that I'm writing a book called A Path to Be Spiritually Free. And the reason that I'm writing the book is because I've done a lot of work personally and worked with a lot of other people on breaking indoctrination and then creating a personal spiritual path. I think that that's just a miraculous thing to do for one's life. At first, I really was focusing on religious indoctrination because that's what I felt like I struggled with the most. And over time, I've come to realize that even those that were not raised in a religious household or with any religion at all still have plenty of indoctrination and forced belief systems about what they should see as real, authentic, good, and evil. And almost none of it is something that we need to carry forward. The reality is that religion, traditional spiritual practice, what is normal, all of that stuff was made up by people to benefit those people in some way. Or maybe they were trying to teach a lesson and they created some kind of folklore around the lesson they were trying to teach. And then they passed that down as something that needed to be followed. And none of that is something that we need to carry forward. So I'm going to be reading to you the second chapter from the book, and the chapter is called Belief. I have a feeling it's really going to resonate with you because this book is flowing like nothing I've ever created or written before. And I honestly believe it's because it's coming from a place of really wanting to help other people release old thinking, old teachings, break indoctrination, and then from that place go forward and building the spiritual practice, the life that they want. And I'm just really excited to share that with you guys. So meet me on the other side of the theme song and we'll get right into it. Welcome to the Practically Spiritual Show. Together we will learn, laugh, and grow. Break indoctrination, rise above our nation, and soar. Welcome to the Practically Spiritual Show. A Path to Be Spiritually Free, Chapter 2, Belief. Let's face it, people walk around with loads of beliefs about spirituality, our place in society, and what our future selves can expect without even realizing it most of the time. Some are true, and others are simply ideas that comfort us, and we keep close to ourselves for their palliative value. Society gives people who espouse certain belief systems credit for being special, for their ability to accept other people's belief systems without question. They learn, teach, and espouse these sets of ideas and rules to other people simply because they were indoctrinated to accept these beliefs and have not had the courage to challenge them. Or perhaps these beliefs really work well for the people who hold and perpetuate them. Society rewards these folks because they are standard keepers. They maintain the status quo and don't challenge authority. They accept what has been taught to them without resistance. We are not those people. We know that many of the beliefs handed down through society do not resonate with us. And we understand that what we believe influences every aspect of our life experience. We must challenge preconceptions and come to our own conclusions. In this book, I am giving you tools to help you get to know yourself, to grow your inner knowledge of your true self. This is the first step in identifying what you believe and how you want to walk your spiritual path. The whole world is open to you, and you may choose from all the spiritual offerings on the planet, or you may go within to identify your own. You needn't choose once and be forced to follow a path you choose today. No, indeed, you may choose again as often as you like. The first step is to learn what is true for you, to identify what is within integrity, of your belief system and what is not. This is the very base of you, what you will do and what you won't, what you'll accept from others and what you must reject. There are simple elements to this. For instance, do you stop and help people when you can? Or do you feel it's better to allow others to do for themselves? Arguments can be made on both sides, right? The truth is, we decide these things on the spot, in the moment. When we've strayed from integrity with our own belief system, we feel it. For me, I experience it in my solar plexus, a dull ache. But for you, it may be something different. You may have a realization immediately, or you may remember when you're on your way home and have a regret about not helping, or helping when your assistance was not appreciated. In either case, the more familiar we are with our personal integrity, the better we become at living within it, and the more powerful we feel. Violating our spiritual integrity causes a loss of personal power. We feel it deeply. Sometimes a little drain, and other times a large drop. But defying our own inner knowing has a cost. That's why adherence to a religion that has precepts that conflict with our own inner knowing is so damaging to our sense of self. Belief and unquestioning faith in what is handed down from other people is inherently in conflict with living your own spiritual path. That is to say, if you are not permitted to question, examine, and decide for yourself whether a set of principles matches up with your own inner knowing, that teaching is automatically suspect. Spiritual connection is the purest experience we can have. Any dogma, ritual, person, or institution that places themselves between any person and direct connection with spirit is misguided at best and sinister at worst. A tool that many religions use to control their followers is cognitive dissonance. Simply put, cognitive dissonance is when we hold two conflicting beliefs to be true simultaneously. When we accept, even reluctantly, beliefs that we fundamentally see as at odds, we are out of integrity with our own belief systems, and we are no longer our most powerful selves. For instance, the Christian God is said to love everyone like his children. However, that same entity is credited with creating a world where some of his children suffer unimaginably, while others seem to live in bliss. Also, this God is said to have doomed his errant children to eternal suffering. Anyone who has loved another person, putting aside the love of a parent for a child, cannot reconcile these ideas as being simultaneously plausible. Another way religions use cognitive dissonance is expecting adherents to accept folkloric tales as true historical events. While stories are an excellent way to communicate complex ideas, they should be seen as illustrations, not historical facts. Most world religions demand their followers regard every word in their sacred text as factual. Therefore, they must also view stories or folktales as truth. This makes no sense. So adherents are instructed to take the word of their religious leaders on faith. This forced cognitive dissonance is a challenge to the personal structural integrity of the followers. It makes them feel uneasy and less powerful. That's why it's such a powerful tool to control people. When people feel powerless, they are more likely to defer to authority. This very action makes the insecure person feel safe. And in this way, a circle of control is complete. Cognitive dissonance is not inherently evil. There are examples in everyday life that we experience and accept. For example, we know that life in these bodies will end, that everyone we know is only alive for a while. An argument could be made that to strive in life is futile. However, we also see love and light and joy and can focus on those things to find meaning in life. We are complicated beings with lots of ideas, passions, hopes, and dreams. Cognitive dissonance allows us to move forward when catastrophe strikes. and we feel like we could give up. Our rational minds may ask, why are we still trying when things seem hopeless? The reason is that we are capable of holding two conflicting truths at one time. The abuse comes into play when we have these conflicting ideas forced on us, when we voice our discomfort only to be told that we aren't faithful enough, and this makes us bad. I'll go on record right now and say that questioning authority is good. Blindly accepting is not healthy. Belief should never be predicated upon a requirement to accept anything as truth when our inner knowing tells us otherwise. Truth does not require us to believe in it. We don't have to accept truth. If something doesn't resonate with you, leave it. Ultimately, I'm encouraging you to take complete control of your spiritual life. As you move through the chapters of the book, you will get to know yourself better. You will become comfortable with checking in with your inner knowing to determine what is true for you. You will build your own spiritual practice, identify what you believe, and you'll be reliant upon no one unless you choose to ask someone to help you grow your own spiritual connection. Creating a loving, supportive community has mutual benefits when each member can share their view and experience without expectations of the other member's agreement. Recognizing the reality that we are all living our own lives, walking our own spiritual paths together, but not as one, is very powerful. Strive to become an observer so that you don't feel any compulsion to agree or disagree with other people. In this way, you can lovingly support other people's spiritual growth. Loving other people and completely respecting their integrity, recognizing they don't need your approval, blessing, or agreement, is an incredibly pure form of love. Wow, I haven't read that since I wrote it. And it's so amazing to me that sometimes something that I've written and then come back to sometime later can resonate with me so powerfully. I hope that you had the same experience. I hope that some of what you heard in that chapter resonated with you. It's just very powerful for me. So I feel like saying I couldn't have said it better myself, because in a lot of respects, what I'm working on right now very much feels channeled. I guess it's just, it's coming from deep within me, and it's so important to me to communicate it and to share it with other people, to give just everyone the confidence and the feeling that you have the right and the authority to be the person in your life who charts your own spiritual path, who makes those decisions for yourself. I also wanted to make a point, a very important point, and hopefully you got this in the chapter, but I just want to say it again just to make sure that I'm communicating it thoroughly, and that is that breaking indoctrination is not a one-and-done experience. It's something that we continue to go through our entire lives. It is a normal and healthy thing for a person to have a lot of assumptions that we carry around, because if you come to everything fresh and try and make decisions about everything right on the spot your whole life, you'd never get anything done. You have to have some things in your life that are a given, that are assumed. And most of those, or a lot of those, are good. And then as you go along, you realize, oh crap, I didn't know that was an assumption I carried. Like, I didn't know that I believed that. For instance, in my lifetime living in the United States, we have only had male presidents, right? I have to admit, for me, when I think of an American president, what comes to mind is a man. Not that I think men should be president. Not that I think that that is a good thing. But I'm just conditioned to see it that way. So that's my first reaction. And the only way we can move past those old held beliefs is to recognize them for what they are. Just beliefs. Just conditioning from growing up in a certain environment. So This continues to evolve. We continue to see the world differently. We continue to see ourselves differently. We continue to see the people around us differently. It's very easy for us to pigeonhole people around us. Oh, that guy's that. That lady's that. Because it's easier than staying open to them completely developing into new people all the time. But we are. And we also continue to grow our belief system. Perhaps you've never had experience with a meditation or a ritual, and then you do experience it and you think, okay, I want to add that to my personal belief system, my own process of practicing my spirituality. So don't fall into the trap of thinking that this is a process that you ever get done with. It's part of the beauty of it, really. We continue to evolve. But that very first part of recognizing this has got to be part of my past as I move forward into my future. And I hope you felt that as you listen to the chapter. At this point, I want to thank you for listening to the Practically Spiritual Show. I sincerely hope you enjoyed this episode, this reading of this chapter, and take away something that has value and meaning for you. If you think of somebody that you think would benefit from this, that would enjoy my show, I would be so honored if you would tell them about it. I make it really easy to reach out to me. I have a website for the show, thepracticallyspiritualshow.com, and a website just for me and all my artsy work, my books and adventures, laurapalatin.com. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and recently signed up for Threads. We'll see how that goes. I'd love to hear from you if you have an idea for the show. I really want to keep it current and up to date for what everybody's going through in the modern day. So if you think of an idea, have a question, please reach out to me in any of those platforms. Until next time, take care of yourself and remember, there is no them. There really is only us. Thanks for listening to the Practically Spiritual Show. I mean it. Thank you so much for sticking around to the end. It means so much to me. I love you. See you next time. Bye-bye.